Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, you guys. Good morning. Welcome to Spotlight on Maryland. It's Gina Crash, your host for the next half hour or so. Very excited to introduce you to my two in-studio guests this morning. First up, we have Brian Pugh. He's the executive director of the Brain Injury Association of Maryland. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, good morning. Glad to be here. Thanks so much for having us.
Good to have you. You've also brought along Tom Longest. He's a brain injury survivor. Can't wait to hear your story, Tom. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And for a little bit of background, Brian is the executive director, as we mentioned, of the Brain Injury Association of Maryland, BIAMD, which this year celebrates its 40th anniversary, serving Maryland families confronting the challenges of acquired brain injuries. And March is Brain Injury Awareness Month. We'll get into that as well. Since 2011, his work has focused on providing information and assistance to individuals, families, educators, healthcare providers, and policymakers regarding brain injury prevention, treatment, research, and supports. And as part of BIAMD's current outreach initiatives, he hosts the Brain Injury Connector podcast, serves as a facilitator for BIAMD's weekly check-in chat, curates and distributes BIAMD's weekly Five Thoughts Fridays e-newsletter, and serves on a variety of boards, work groups, task force, and committees representing Maryland's brain injury community. You are a busy guy.
Wow, right? Thanks. I'm glad the check cleared, then you were able to get all that in.
Yes, totally. And not to be outdone, Tom Longest, as we mentioned, is a brain injury survivor. Tom was running his own audiovisual business when he fell 4 feet off a ladder and hit his head on a concrete floor, giving him a severe brain injury. Tom's story is about how he and his wife, Mary, and their two young boys struggled after he had a traumatic brain injury. Tom was not familiar with what a TBI or brain injury was before the accident. He and Mary got in touch with the Brain Injury Association of Maryland and worked with Jennifer, one of the support service case managers. She was able to help the couple navigate some of the challenges created by brain injury, including resources, information, and support. The couples created several companies to make ends meet and continue to work hard to provide a family income while working within some of the limitations created by Tom's brain injury. Tom has also been active in partnering with the Brain Injury Association of Maryland, including facilitating adaptive yoga classes for individuals with brain injuries. That's cool. And also creating veteran partnerships and collaborations. That's awesome, Tom.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we're going to join you a little later on in the interview, too. But starting with some background with Brian, what is an acquired brain injury and how does it differ from other types of brain injuries?
Well, what we call an acquired brain injury can be anything. It's sort of the umbrella. And sometimes people talk about TBI, traumatic brain injury, but there's more. There's strokes. There's aneurysms. And there can be brain tumors, and any kind of brain surgery is going to create an impact to the brain. And so, you know, we sort of talk about acquired brain injury cumulatively and trying to address all those kinds of issues. So there are many other types of injuries that can happen to the brain, but the ones that we concentrate at the Brain Injury Association are those.
Gotcha. And so what are some of the common causes of brain injury in Maryland? We heard what happened with Tom's story, but I'm sure you see quite a lot of
them. I mean, ironically, the most common in the United States, about 40%, is falls. And that continues to be both in Maryland and throughout the United States. So falls, and there are two groups, and we can maybe get into this a bit later, but younger under 5 and over 65 are typically the highest that sustain brain injuries during falls. Then you also have, you know, the impact injuries, and those are going to be the car crashes. Those are going to be, maybe sports-related injuries, so hits and strikes and hits with balls and things like that. And then you have additional ones that can be like strangulation and near drowning, and those create anoxic and hypoxic brain injuries. And so we'll talk a little bit about those too as well.
Wow. Okay. So what are some of the most common symptoms associated with brain injury, and how do they vary depending on the severity of that injury?
So they do. What we like to say is that every brain is different. Every brain injury is different. Every brain injury recovery is different. So they can be unique, but there are some common things. When you're talking about, say, a traumatic brain injury, you can talk about sensitivity to light, sensitivity to sound. You can talk about nausea. Those are very common. When you start getting more severe, then you start getting into cognitive and behavioral issues. And those are the ones that become the most challenging for families to have to deal with. Another thing that is really common throughout all brain injuries is fatigue. People can wear out and you know, their battery starts blinking red about halfway through the day, even more so. And sometimes that can create additional problems, because if you're not as aware or you're more fatigued, you know, you're more likely to maybe fall. You're more likely maybe to make poor decisions. You're more likely to be fly off the handle, you know, behaviorally. And so it sort of compounds on itself. When you get into things like strokes, you can also have balance issues. The brain is key in trying to keep you spatially aware. And it also controls your arms, your legs, your feet, I mean, everything. And so if you have damage to the brain in those areas that actually, you know, help you walk, help you move around. And then also in stroke, you hear a lot about aphasia, which is talking, which mm-hmm. is the inability to speak. And there's different kinds of aphasia. Aphasia can be that I can't catch the word that I want, or I say an inappropriate word. Or I'm not understanding what you're saying. I'm not processing what I'm hearing. And then it can also be I'm not processing what I'm reading, or I can't even conceive of what I read. And so, you know, those all mix in together. And so it can be a real challenge to sort of parse that stuff out, find out what's actually happening, find out what part of the brain is affected, and then work with those symptoms.
Mm-hmm. And how can people reduce their risk of sustaining a brain injury?
Well, there's a variety of ways. The one that we most commonly say is, if there's a helmet for your sport, wear it.
Yeah.
Because we're always, always, always trying to show people and demonstrate, you know, that statistically, on a motorcycle accident, without a motorcycle helmet, you're much more likely to have a very severe brain injury. Bicycle helmet, hockey, lacrosse, football, you know, you need to wear the best helmet available. Skiing is one of the things we had winter sports traumatic brain injury awareness in January. And we're talking about the different helmet technologies that are coming out for skiers and snowboarders. Those are all very important.
Yeah.
And then for things like stroke, you know, it's just regular, you know, eat right, get good exercise, you know, don't, you know, if you have high cholesterol, treat it. If you have high blood pressure, treat it, because those are, you know, those are precursors for strokes.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything you can do to help yourself, you know, prevent those kinds of things. And those are very, very preventable in terms of diet and exercise. Medications that are available and things like that. So those are all very common.
Mm-hmm. And I understand there are links between the opioid crisis and the COVID pandemic and brain injury.
Mm-hmm.
That's fascinating. Can you tell us more about those?
So this is one of the things that's really kind of, you know, my stump speech, because there's a lot of it going on and not many people putting it all together. And so when we talk about an anoxic brain injury or hypoxic brain injury, that means that the oxygen getting to the brain has been reduced to the point that you're starting to have damage and sometimes death. What happens with the opioid crisis, when you have an overdose, what is happening is that you have reduced the amount of oxygen in your body and to the extent that your brain is no longer functioning appropriately. And so, you know, that's what an overdose is. You pass out, you stop breathing, your heart stops, and you basically, you know, you go into, you know, full arrest. And with the fentanyl that's going on now, mixing in with the cocaine and the heroin and you know, those really, really high, more powerful drugs, we're finding that even with the treatments that are available, and we have some amazing, the naloxone and the naproxen, which, you know, the nasal spray that can bring people back. But the amount of fentanyl that's out in the community right now is taking people down and taking people out for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And it's sort of the equivalent of being on the bottom of a pool. And even if people pop out and go back down, they are actually, you know, they're losing time of their brain, and part of their brain is dying. And one of the real challenges with anoxic and hypoxic injuries is we don't know what part of the brain is dying. And so if you have a stroke in a certain area, or you have a front, you know, you have a crash and the airbag goes off in your face, we kind of know what parts of your brain, or if you fall off your bike and hit the side of your head, we kind of know what part of your brain is affected. And we kind of know the kinds of things that that part of the brain, you know, runs. And so we can be looking for those symptoms. But with a hypoxic or anoxic, we really don't know. And so what's happening is we're doing these great jobs, and it's miracles what our first responders have learned how to do in bringing these folks back. But when we're bringing them back with a substance abuse disorder and a brain injury. And we're treating sort of, if they're lucky, they can get treatment for the substance abuse disorder, 30-day program, detox, AA meetings, NA meetings, mentors, sponsors, things like that, clinicians. But they're not putting together that it's also a brain injury. And so sometimes the things that we can do to help somebody with a substance abuse disorder may be counterintuitive for somebody who's coming back with a brain injury. So the drugs that you might be administering to try and help somebody come off of it could actually be harming you in terms of the brain injury.
Wow.
And so we're not putting that together. And so when you start talking to doctors, you start talking to clinicians, you start talking to family members, it's like, yeah, we kind of knew what was going on with this person when they had the substance abuse disorder. We knew when they were tweaking. We know who they were off with. We probably even knew where they were buying the drugs and where they were using the drugs. But we don't know who this person is. Now they're stuck in their basement. They don't do anything. They fly off the handle. They never got angry before, and now they're just so angry. Well, you're talking about, you know, brain injury symptoms, not substance abuse symptoms. And so without that connection, you're not necessarily treating as effectively, and you may even be setting somebody up for, you know, failure, because, you know, you're putting them in programs that they may not be ready to handle. And if you're not addressing the brain injury at all, you're probably not going to have success with the substance abuse disorder. With COVID, it's the same thing. It's an anoxic and hypoxic injury. So why were people losing smell and taste? Well, it wasn't that their nose fell off, and it wasn't that the taste buds fell off their tongue. It's that their brain couldn't process that sensory overload, that sensory input. They could no longer put together the complicated sensory input of smell and taste, and so it was a brain injury. And so it wasn't all fun to be on TikTok and have the habanero challenge, and I'm not tasting anything, woohoo. It's really a brain injury. And then, you know, why do you get put on a ventilator? Well, you get put on a ventilator because you're not getting the oxygen that your body needs to sustain itself. And what's the most oxygen-greedy part of the body? The brain. And so what's missing out on that oxygen? It's the brain. And so COVID is creating a thing that you hear about, long haulers, brain fog. These are real symptoms. These are real things. And people are coming out about those kinds of things. And then additionally, you were finding that as a vascular issue, people were having clots with COVID. And so with no prior symptom at all, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds are getting strokes. And again, that stroke is a blood clot goes to the brain. The blood's not going to the brain. That part of the brain starts dying.
Wow.
So huge issues about that combination.
Mm-hmm. And are there any particular groups of people who are at a higher risk of sustaining a brain injury in Maryland, such as athletes, military personnel, victims of domestic violence?
Yeah, these are also issues. And like I said, the main groups are the under 5 and over 65. And the over 65 is particularly susceptible because as you age, you know, you lose your balance, your vision goes, your hearing goes, you may not be as aware of things that are going on. In addition, you're changing medications. Maybe you've got blood pressure medications, you've got cholesterol medications, other things that are happening and affecting your body, you're falling. Athletes can be susceptible, and that's gotten a little bit, in the news over the last several years with the movie Concussion, and the NFL and the MLB and the NHL all creating concussion protocols. Maryland schools created concussion protocols for return to play and return to learn. So, anytime you're out there, particularly if you're, even just pickup ball and stuff like that, if you're out practicing and you don't necessarily have the safety equipment, you become more susceptible. Military personnel, of course, brain injury was the quintessential injury of the Afghani and Iraqi conflicts. And a lot of people came back with those, but the primary instrument of brain injury in the military now is just, the same things that happen to us, car crashes, falls, things like that. And so you've got active men and women that are out there doing active things that are dangerous, you know, and you can create yourself, you know, challenges in that mm-hmm. regard as well.
The Brain Injury Association of Maryland is celebrating 40 years of service this year. So tell us a little bit about how it got started and how it's changed over the last four decades. And how long have you been with the organization?
I've been with the organization. I just celebrated my 12th anniversary with the organization. It's been a huge privilege and one of the great things in my life that I've been able to meet these wonderful people. 40 years ago, parents in 1983 had kids with brain injuries, and they really didn't know where to turn. And so they turned to each other, and they created an organization, and over the years was able to link up with other organizations. So the Brain Injury Association of Maryland is now part of the Brain Injury Association of America, which is the national organization. And it started out with the intent to help families. That remains its core mission and continues. They started an 800 number. Shameless plug is 1-800-221-6443. That's 1-800-221-6443. We've been answering that phone for 40 years. We get about 300 calls a month from all over the country.
Wow.
People looking to find out more information.
Yeah.
And so this evolution has turned into the adoption of social media and the adoption of outreach and webinars, meeting with a variety of different people and trying to influence people in policies and decisions surrounding brain injury and brain injury support.
And your national organization is located in Fairfax, Virginia?
It's in Virginia. I think it was in Reston. I think it's in Fairfax, yeah.
Yeah, and you're also BIAMD.org if people are looking for your website. You're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, as well.
Yeah, it was
well.
Funny, and going back and looking at our 40th anniversary, I went back and took a look at our first website, and it was really a Word document with hypertext. I mean, I found it, you know, I went to the Wayback Machine, which is on the internet, and found 1980, I don't remember what it was, in the early 90s, but it really was just, it's a piece of paper with blue underlined things, and you can click on it. So I'm proud to say that now we're fully, you know, integrated and much more information is available out there. And so we have a lot more opportunities and information available.
And that's how it's changed over time for the better, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
And how do healthcare providers in Maryland typically diagnose brain injuries, and what tools and techniques do they use to assess the severity of that injury?
So what you'll hear a lot about, particularly when you're talking about traumatic brain injuries, people get a CT scan. What they're doing there is they're really just looking for a bleed. Is there a bleed? Because there are certain drugs that you can give that can maybe prevent a bleed, or certain drugs that you can't, you don't want to give. Blood thinner you don't want to give when somebody's bleeding out. So they want to pay attention to that. But a CT scan is not definitive, and so they have to go in and they can do, visual. They can take a look at, eye movement. They can give, brief testing here movement. Those kinds of standard things. And then they can go further if they do believe that there's a situation. They can do MRIs to see if they can find out things. And then there's neuropsychological evaluations that can also be done to try and narrow down where the symptoms are and what's going on with that.
And how has the field of brain injury research and treatment evolved over the past decade, and what types of advancements do you see coming on the horizon?
Well, the challenge has always been that war revolutionizes medicine, and then the same is true here. And so there was a lot of emphasis because of the IEDs and the explosions and the concussions and brain injuries that were happening. There was a lot of a lot going into research to try and support our service members, and that has transferred. And that can be PET scans, which is where they're actually able to see the parts of the brain that are operating when you do different stimulus to them, so they can really narrow down where those things are. New drugs that they've been able to develop to sort of approach the different symptoms and, improving the different techniques of evaluating these. And then also adding things like music therapy is really effective. Homeopathic therapy has some real advances that are taking place, helping out people with brain injury. Some of the newer things that are coming on are sort of a light therapy, using light to help people, which are very unique and interesting. They're using different sound, and they're also finding out different apps that people can use, technology that people can use, and sometimes virtual reality can also help people in sort of reintegrating themselves into and improving their ability to recover.
That's very promising. You've been listening to Brian Pugh. He's executive director of the Brain Injury Association of Maryland. We want to bring Tom back into the conversation. Tom Longest, who's a brain injury survivor. And where are you from, Tom?
I'm from Baltimore, Maryland, actually, right in Hamden. That's where I grew up.
Awesome. Our favorite neighborhood. And Tom, you're here with Brian today as a brain injury survivor. So can you tell us about your brain injury and how it's impacted you and your family's life?
Sure. Well, it's changed everything, but I'd first like to thank Brian for all of the leadership and friendship over the last years. When he started, I was already a few years into the brain injury world with my injury about 15 years ago, and it changed everything, but it was something that I didn't know anything about. Unfortunately, in the process of humanity, I fell and broke a bunch of bones, but then the doctors missed the processing, like he mentioned, the CT scan just seeing what effects my brain were having after the fall. I did tell them, but we're all human and things happen, and that's just how it went. But unfortunately for us, it took me 2 years before I realized that I had a traumatic brain injury, because we were just not aware of what that meant. TBI is traumatic brain injury. And so I found out actually by watching a program from, ironically, the Brain Injury Association of Washington. And then I immediately called BIAMD in Maryland, and a wonderful lady named Jen Parr talked to me. And during that time, you have to imagine, we went from six-figure income, very successful businesses, and had all the financial things we needed, had two beautiful children and an amazing wife. I'll be 30 years this year. My kids are now 26 and 23, Brandon and Daniel. But during the time, they were 8 and 11. And so my life really changed. I went from singing in the choir the week before, and then while I was in the hospital, started yelling and cussing at people, and my brain was swelling, but it got missed because they didn't know my personality, so yeah. They just assumed I was just an angry person, which I wasn't, but it just turned out that was the case. So wow. They sent me home, and the days turned into weeks, the weeks turned into months, and months turned into 2 years of just complete devastation, and we had some feedback from people that would just tell us, hey, you might have this, you might have that. And I got went through all the processes. And I'm really, really grateful to have a family who stuck with me, because the divorce rate, if people don't know, is I think around 80%. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at Brian. I'm going to rely on Brian, actually, because I've learned to use tools with my brain injury. And Brian is a great person I trust. And so in the brain injury community, after you have an impact, you have to start figuring out ways to sort of put this puzzle back together. And that's kind of where we have been for the last 15 years, and we still are. So it's an interesting process. But one of the things that I found out is that if you just let yourself go through the process, it can take you to some very negative places. And I went through depression. I was considering suicide. So all of these really negative impacts on my life. But then my family was isolated. We didn't have the relationships any longer. One of the challenges was actually I thought a great father at the time, reading to my kids. They were just very connected. And then the next thing you know, I was yelling at them. And that's something that wasn't characteristic of my personality. But that's the impact that we see daily when we help people with brain injuries, is that you really have to look at the big picture. And that's what I'm grateful that after 2 years, I finally went through Sinai Hospital, which has, I think, a world-renowned, it's definitely across the country, people come all the time to get the therapy. And I went through that program. It's called the Return Program. And the gentleman, Mark Hustledge, saw the challenges. By then, we went from, like I said, having income to being completely broke. So we had no insurance and no resources to get the therapy that I needed. So the state helped us, and they were able to help with the Brain Injury Association in partnership navigate that path.
Wow, that is fascinating. And then, so what was one of the most significant challenges you faced, particularly in terms of your ability to live independently and continue to participate in the workforce, support yourself and your family? And I love how you remember these people you're working with by name. They have made such an impact on you and your recovery that you will never forget their names.
Yes, and life-changing. And we have been so grateful to be involved with the Brain Injury Association for many years now. We've spoken at the conference and been just honored in many different ways to create connections. And so my wife and I still to this day, actually just as of last week, are helping a lady, Debbie. Hi, Debbie. And she had been through a similar process and was in a motorcycle accident and just got lost in the system and needed help. So we do that on a regular basis. But the challenges that I face are very much like what Brian said, the memory, processing. I suffer greatly with brain fatigue, and so I try to take 2 to 4 naps a day, and 2 naps is pretty much my standard. So I have to take these little power naps, and it gets my brain re-energized. And then it's working with the tools that I have as far as the resources and where my brain is and where it's not me, it's the injury. And that doesn't define me. It just allows me to navigate the challenges that I face. So things like memory, are a big issue. So each day my wife puts notes, and it at first it's very humbling because you have to, as a man, want to be that person. And my identity was sort of more in my work than it was in my how I operated. But now it's the complete opposite. So I feel like in a lot of ways it's helped me to be a better person. But the tools are just over time, you find different ways to just to figure it out. And it's a puzzle. And I really look at it that way. It's like, okay, I do this today and it might not work tomorrow, but we just keep trying. And then there's a saying, it's a constant and never ending improvement at CANI. And can I? Yes, I can. And that's the attitude we have.
That's great. And it sounds like your wife is just so helpful. But how did your kids, who were very young at the time, 8 and 11, I think you said, how were they, how do you recommend, if anyone's going through this or something similar, how were they able to sort of adapt and help you? You know, you weren't always that angry guy in the beginning before you knew what got the help you needed. But how do they help you now? And what I'm sure that's impacted their lives.
Absolutely. Patience, love, acceptance. Acceptance in this community is one of the biggest things I think we try to strive for. I denied it for many years, but it's, and I think if you ask my wife, she'd still say no, but it's something that we try to embrace. Therapy. I think the medical side of things is something that often the survivor becomes sort of the highlight of the process, but the caregiver is the one who has to do all of the hard work, and they have to be there in support. So my wife would push me, Mary, she would push me and say, you know what? The doctors would say, you can do this, and then Tom can do that. And then she would say, well, let him do a little more. And that push, gentle this consideration is what allowed us to grow together. And now, fortunately, unfortunately, we have to work together. And it's humbling to say as well, I cannot work. I can't work a full job, but I can do a lot of things. And we have now, we do a handyman business. I'm in the American Legion. I was a veteran. I'm very proud to be the new commander there. And we're doing tremendous things in the community to rebuild it. So it's just different layers, but I couldn't do it alone. Like having Brian as help, everyone that we get involved with, we learn to trust each other and then to be honest with ourselves and then honest with each other to give that positive feedback. But because the negativity can be so easy to follow, we really try to focus on the positive and laugh at yourself often because it's all you have sometimes.
Exactly. And you know what was cool? Something you also mentioned, Tom, was that you were really looking forward to the Maryland conference. And I know we're in the middle of Brain Injury Awareness Month this March. We have a final minute, but tell us a little bit about some of the things you have going on with that and how important that is for people who may not be aware of brain injury. What can they do to participate this month?
So it's really exciting. So on March 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, we have our annual Brain Injury Conference. This will be the 35th anniversary of the conference. We've got a variety of different – we pride ourselves in having something for everybody. So we have information and breakout sessions for individuals who are survivors. We have information breakout for caregivers, for health educators, and healthcare providers. We offer 11 continuing education units for, I think, 12 different professions. So there's a lot of opportunity for education. And it is, you can find out more information on our website about it. It's going to be at the Doubletree in Pikesville. We've got 32 speakers over a variety of different topics, all of which are research, recovery. We have caregiver support groups. We have brain injury support groups. We really encourage people to come out.
Great. They can get more info at BIAMD.org. Thank you so much. Brian Pugh has been joining us, Executive Director of the Brain Injury Association of Maryland, and brain injury survivor Tom Longus. Tom, I'm so glad you and your family are doing so well. Thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. And you guys, thank you for listening. This has been a production of Odyssey Baltimore.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.